Hey, how you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Thursday, the 10th of September 2020 with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson. Episode 267, exclusive to patrons, take two. Hope you're all well as we come to the end of another week, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. And welcome again to the long-running indie podcast that sweats the small stuff and increasingly sweats the bigger stuff that probably should be sweated. Going out to the 16 of you who keep this show coming back, a more intimate show than the regular show and advertising free or plug free. I wouldn't call it advertising. I did a couple of demo ads last week. I might have mentioned that in the last couple of shows. Did a couple of demo ads for one company based in the States. And when I requested the information for download numbers for the show, and I think they saw that it was something like 22. That was it. That brought the advert aspirations to an abrupt halt. Those are the challenges I need to find a way of overcoming. I've been quite rattled this week. A letter from the housing association that part owned this flat, along with, I think, a letter from the contractors who are going to be carrying out the window work on behalf of the housing association. That rattled me. I know that at the moment it looks like it's coming, and that work is scheduled the first week of October, which will impact on everything I do that week, including being able to put out this show. So it might be I need to have a week off that week, that I need to accept that, or just try and record some shorter shows in the evening. I know that it's happening, and unfortunately for me, if it does go ahead, I'm going to be the first flat they tackle, because I'm on the top floor, and overall I think the scaffolding's going to be up for over 40 days. So it's major works within that building, well, within this building. Maybe that was a Freudian slip, because I don't think I've ever fully accepted that I live here. So maybe I did mean that building, as if I was removing myself from this space I find myself in. You know, I've taken that sensible approach over the last 6-7 months to dealing with this pandemic. And now with this work probably going ahead, with contractors likely to be in the flat, that self-isolating, that discipline, that sensible approach is being wrenched from me. I've got no say in it. It's enormously frustrating, and you know, I am concerned about it for any number of reasons. And I was speaking, there was a contact number there for the man who's going to be managing all these works, and he was very sympathetic. He said that he agreed with everything, in his words, 1,000%, that I was saying, that this work was being rushed through. This was on Tuesday that I called in, before the government guidance was updated last night. So even before then, I was saying, look, we don't even know what's going to be happening this winter. We're not there yet, and already those numbers are going to be creeping up. He'd lost his mum to COVID, so I suppose that gave him a perspective. He said it wasn't the window contractors who were pushing this work, that it was the housing association. Now, the problem is, well, one of many problems, that, you know, I've been here for a while, and all this work has been, it's been in the pipeline. The roof has been something that I've had to chase, but, you know, things like the windows and renewing the doors, that's something that the leaseholders in the building have been battling for years to get done. You know, it's a badly managed building. These people have been chasing that work for a long time and understandably want it done. I bit my tongue there on understandably. I'm not going to be able to edit that out, but you will see that the diction was poor on that understandably. I think that's because I'm quite tense today. I can feel it in my shoulders and neck already. So I don't want to be the one to scuttle this work that these people have been chasing. They are sympathetic to my viewpoint. One has said, though, in an email, that having got this far, they just want the work done as long as the COVID protocols are observed within what are very average size flats with very tight hallways. So I don't know how you do the social distancing in there. And also, I raised the point that, having spoken to the plumber, who was a contractor sent by the housing association a couple of weeks ago, he said while he was pleased to be working throughout this period, that the one thing that really irked him was the fact that the housing association won't pay to have their workers tested. Now, I don't know whether these window contractors are going to fall under the remit of the housing association. If they do, then they're certainly not going to be coming here having been tested for the virus. So that's that's another concern. That's something I've made the neighbours aware of. That's something I made the windows manager, the guy overseeing the work, I made him aware of that. I also again made the point about the portaloo. If it's going to be such a big piece of work that they're doing within this building, surely they ought to bring a portaloo, as most builders tend to do when, for example, you're getting all these basement extensions or basement works, whatever. South London is obsessed with these. Well, I think North London too. It probably started in North London and then South London's copied North London. And all these loft extensions that you see, it's a common sight to see a TARDIS-like object outside these buildings. What I don't know is whether there are sinks within those portaloos for the guys to wash their hands, or do they come out and they still have to use your taps, in which case, COVID-wise, that's a breach. Well, it's a breach regardless of pandemic. The guys would be coming in to your kitchen and touching the taps without having been able to wash their hands within the portaloos, because the portaloos do look very tight space-wise. I don't think I could ever envisage using one myself. To think that all that's separating you from doing whatever you're doing and the street is this tiny box, TARDIS box, TARDIS-like box rather, small on the outside, but even smaller on the inside perhaps. And then you've got to open that door. Everyone that's walking past at that time will hear the flush and you're coming out. Everyone knows that you've been doing something. That's a horrible situation. Probably one more reason of the many hundreds why I could never have gone into construction. So that's the situation. And the guy said, "Well, look, if you don't want them to use your bathroom, you just tell them." And I said, "Look, I had this with one of your colleagues a couple of weeks ago. I'm not having that conversation with people face to face. I've got enough on my plate without having those awkward, embarrassing conversations. It's not that I'm afraid of saying that to a contractor. It's that I don't need that awkwardness. That should be clear to the contractors when they arrive at your property. They should come here knowing that there is a portaloo outside for them. That is your job to do that. That is your company's job to provide them with bathroom facilities, particularly during a pandemic. You can't have strangers using your bathroom. You don't know where these guys have been, you don't know what their bubbles are like, you don't know how many people are in their household. No matter how I tell myself, "Well, look, it's only a week, and at the end of this, the flat will be warmer, it'll be soundproofed better, more importantly for me and my work." It's just a week. It's more than a week, and there are costs involved. Will I have to buy new blinds and put up new blinds? That's one cost, because I don't know if these guys will put up the blinds, and also one of the blinds is broken anyway. The blinds are very old, so there's that. I've kind of lost my thread now, as I often do. The dust sheets, he said, his voice spiking there. I've got to buy more dust sheets. I've got to move everything in the flat myself, real heavy furniture. And as I've said in the last couple of weeks, well, there were two reasons for not continuing to work from the study. One, the leak in roof, that's where the study is, but also, when some work was carried out some time ago, I was never able to work in that room again. It just felt sullied, and I was never able to get things back into the order in which they were. And now I'm thinking, well, if this work does go ahead, I want to avoid a similar situation. Might I take pictures of where everything should be, or is there a way of me marking the position of where these various bits of furniture are? Because I need that routine and I need things to be where they were. I just don't really like change, pretty much because this whole life is just set up to working. I don't want to be wasting time trying to put things back in their place. I get up, I start my day straight away. What I'm failing to do is to end my day. My days are just going on into the nights, and that's very unhealthy. So this correspondence, they were hand-delivered letters. I'd been down for the post around 1400 hours on Tuesday afternoon. There was nothing there. Then there was an email from one of the downstairs neighbours saying, "I see that so-and-so have hand-delivered their letters for the windows. I'm being done, my flat's being done on such and such a week in November." And suddenly I was hopeful that at the very least this might not happen until November, by which time the situation with the pandemic might have got even worse. So the work would be paused at least until the new year. But unfortunately for me, they're starting at the top. So the work here is going to be happening a month before it happens downstairs. And then there's all the stuff about entering and exiting the flat during that time. So while my work might be done in the first week of October or second week of October, I've then still got to negotiate my way in and out of a building when these workers are going to be up and down the communal hallways. And they might be thinking, yeah, that's the guy from the top flat, didn't let anybody use his bathroom. They might make light of that to ingratiate themselves with any neighbours who are okay with them using their bathroom. Although one of the downstairs neighbours has since said that she's not very comfortable with the idea of these guys losing their bathroom. So, I mean, I've emailed the neighbours, I've made them aware of my stance, but, you know, I'm not a leaseholder. I've sent them also the mobile number and email address for the windows contractor who was very helpful, the guy that lost his mum. And of course, you know, the windows, new windows would make the show easier because the editing on this is always a nightmare, even though these days I just try to do a light edit. My concern is whether, you know, regardless of whether it's a pandemic or not, having building work going on in your home is always a bad experience. Okay, so that's never going to change. It needs to be done. It needs to be done. My point is, does it need to be done now? It just feels very rushed, and that is triggering me right now. It's just a very challenging week mentally. It's been really, really difficult, especially the last couple of days. I've not even done any writing. Things going on, you know, family situation, and there are things that I can talk about. There are things I can't talk about. I try to be as candid as I can be about my situation on the Patreon shows, in the main because it's an outlet and because there are so few of you listening to this. But even I know where I have to draw a line. Yesterday, especially, I was really grateful that I've got all these chemicals inside me serving as a breakwater to protect me against some of this stuff that's just flying at me right now. If in light of the revised government guidance last night, if as a result of that, the housing association sees sense, because I think one of the things they're trying to do is because this work has been going on for so long and because collectively the people in this building have been really on their case for years now, I've sat in on meetings that have been held within this building, thankfully not within this flat. And I've just seen the leaseholders who've been here 30, 40 years, dropped an H there, sorry about that, an H even. The people who've been here 30, 40 years, they've not pulled any punches in face-to-face meetings with the Housing Association. And the problem is the Housing Association is such a big housing association. I think when you become too big, you move away from what you were once good at. And you've got all these various rival departments that just don't communicate with one another. Last week, there was a situation, there was an email from the neighbour about some animal muck on the doorstep that someone had walked in it, taken it into the flat. This was before the cleaners turned up, as they do every Thursday, and the cleaners had been and gone and not bothered to clean any of this stuff up. And I've been seeing how bad the cleaning of the communal hallways has been. And, you know, you're paying for this stuff, so you want a decent job. At the same time, you're mindful that there are individuals doing these jobs. You don't want to get them into trouble. But for the last 5 or 6 months, the cleaning, certainly on the top floor, has been so bad. And I notice it, obviously, because I'm coming in from the park after a run, and particularly during the winter, you know, as much as I would try and clean my running shoes outside the building, I would still, you know, bring in stuff in from the park. The cleaners come. There's the throat. The cleaners come and they go, and you step outside the flat and you just think, have they actually bothered doing this floor? For a long time, they were really thorough. You'd hear them banging about with their vacuum cleaners on every floor, and you don't really hear that now. You hear them in the building, but you don't really hear them coming up to the top floor. So this neighbor had emailed the housing association manager for this particular building, who is useless. I've met her in the past when there were issues here, and she's just, I don't even know how she is still in her job, genuinely. I talk about not wanting to get people into trouble with their jobs, but at the same time, people should be doing their jobs properly. And I've never really been impressed with her at all from the beginning of my dealings with her. Just many emails that haven't even been acknowledged to this day. So this email was sent to her by this downstairs neighbour and CC'd. The neighbours were CC'd, and I just thought, well, I'm going to do a reply all, including to the building manager. And I just said, well, look, also, yes, your cleaners have been in today because I heard them, and I've stepped out into the communal hallway, and it's as if they haven't been here for a week, and this has been going on for some time. We're going to be paying for a service. Give us the service, you know, do it properly. So I'm hoping that these guys see sense and postpone this work, but it's such an uneasy relationship between the housing association and the leaseholders here that I think they're just looking to get this done regardless, so they can finally shut these leaseholders up. But I think, as what I was trying to say is, if in light of this revised guidance, the housing association see sense and postpone this work now until the new year, the first thing I will do is contact the GP and say, let's start that switch over on the pills right now so I can try and establish whether this 2-year tinnitus thing is down to the medication you've got me on, which I hope it would be. Otherwise, it's going to be something more serious and it will need me to visit a tinnitus specialist. But the GP has said, understandably, that he can't send me to a specialist without first being able to identify whether it is the medication that I'm on that has triggered this prolonged bout of tinnitus. So a difficult week. Sometimes in life, particularly when you've lived more than half your life now, quite a bit more, you come face to face with some of the worst choices you ever made, and you've had a long enough life to be able to see how different your life might have been had you made a different choice. And when you come face to face with those decisions abruptly, it can and it does haunt you. You have to accept it. You have to pull those shoulders back. And I'm thankful that I've been doing a bit of Pilates this week, or Pilates at urinal. I'm grateful that I've been doing a bit of Pilates this week. I'll stick with that pronunciation. And the Pilates should help getting those shoulders back. I've got the Sun Factor 50 cream. I just need to slap that on, and I just need to try and keep walking towards that ever-moving sun. I know without the meds this week, I would have been mentally flawed any number of times. I've let things get to me, and some things were always going to get to me, to be fair to myself and my demeanor. Sometimes I think that it's not good that I can't react, even in a very negative or distraught fashion, as might be required to some of these situations that I'm in. I worry that maybe I'll never get past this because the meds freeze your emotions. You know, I'm almost like Captain America trapped in that ice before the Avengers found him in the early 60s. Stuck, suspended animation. So when I have moments like yesterday or a few weeks back when I did that first addendum on the show where I was really shook up that day, it was a really sad moment for me. When something does creep through those chemical defenses, it does shake me up, because for the last 14, 15 months now, doubling the dose has zombified me. I know that it has. I remember something that I've mentioned many times, something that the Space Daddy said to me 10, 11 years ago after Lopez passed away, and that was something that I've relayed to you guys many a time, that we are all 3 or 4 bad decisions away from being on the floor mentally, but it is money that allows you to come back sooner. It gives you a greater access to support. You see these celebrity stories, as I had to for 2 years, having to buy that OK magazine rubbish for the neighbour. You'll see a picture of some reality star or celeb moving their boxed up stuff into a van after another breakup with some other celebrity, and that makes the cover of that particular magazine that week. And, you know, the head in will... Now, paraphrasing here, look how sad this is, blah, blah, blah. That's not even paraphrasing. A breakup between 2 semi-famous people, basically. That's the story. But the thing is, you're in that situation, okay? You have the finances, you have the support to be able to move out straight away, to step away from that situation, to draw a line on that situation. If you're a normal person, on the other hand, or worse still, a writer barely scratching out a living, you can't move. You might find yourself sleeping under a desk for 9 months. You're stuck. Or you might have to see out your tenancy agreement to get your deposit back so you can find somewhere new, and some of that deposit may be deducted because you dared to put a picture on the wall of some loved ones without reading a 20-page contract first. That's the reality for most people. A bruising week then, and something that's been taken up probably most of my time. 19 hours on Tuesday. It didn't take up 19 hours, but I did a 19-hour day on Tuesday because so much of Tuesday I spent trying to figure out this issue, which is the issue with setting up the email for the new show. I'm so behind now on that. And yesterday, last night, again, I was still attempting to do this and I've not been able to do it. And the issue is here, I'm a loyal customer. I've had this domain name for nearly 20 years. And it's a similar situation to that with the podcast platform provider. Again, I'm a loyal customer. You know, I started podcasting in the early days. These guys were one of the leading platform providers in those days. They got tired of waiting around for podcasting to take off. And by the time podcasting did, about 5 years ago, these guys had moved on. Their business had gone off in another direction. They still offer the podcasting service, but there's no proper support for it because it's a free service and their priorities lie elsewhere now. And that's the same with my domain name provider. In fact, they've actually pretty much finished. So the domain name provider, they're supposed to be transferring everything to another company. And right now, it just means that this mail forwarding isn't working. And I need that mail forwarding for the new show. I can't start chasing interviews and pushing the promotion for the show without having that proper email set up. I'm not setting up a webmail. You know, like a whatever, blah, 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 at gmail.com, because that just looks unprofessional. You know, I've got a domain name. All my work comes under that domain name, and the new show will be under that WestEgg 1607 umbrella, and I've got an email for it, but I can't get it set up to send and receive within the master email, the Gmail, which is a common issue, actually, far more common than you'd think. So I was watching a number of videos. This was something that even I was able to do pre-2016. And then when I set up a MeMeMe email address, that very unsuccessful ebook, when I set one up in 2016, suddenly the way to do it within Gmail had changed rather dramatically. It had become more complex, so that the domain provider had to step in and sort that out for me. Not easily. It took a few emails, but they got it done. But I thought, wow, that's more difficult than it used to be. I would never have been able to do that on my own. This time, these days, whether it's for DIY or, you know, stuff for this show, or, you know, just learning how to do things. Even I'm watching YouTube videos and I'm writing everything down, pausing the video, writing everything down, pausing, write everything down. And then I'm following my notes because I'm not going to remember what I've just seen. And I watched several videos that said, yes, this is a problem. You may not be able to do this the way that you were able to do. But I found a brilliant video by a company whose Twitter presence, they've never tweeted, despite putting out these really helpful videos, which is a shame. And within that video, in the last 4 minutes of what is a 12-minute video, they have put forward an alternate way to set up the email, because the chances are that the usual way of setting up a forwarding service within Gmail is not going to work for you. And I was able to get the first step right. The second step, I can't get a verification from Gmail that I need to send to that to the webmail or the new email address, so I can get that code and input it. So finally made contact with the guy at the new company. And he's been good so far this morning. He started his shift at 0600 hours. We've exchanged a few emails. I've sent him a few screenshots. He says that he's going to chase the domain name provider at the domain name company that just don't do anything anymore, and that he should have some weight behind him as he is the team leader for technical support. I mean, yesterday I called the new company. I got bounced twice from customer service to technical support, and that process was again repeated. And then after 20 minutes, they cut me off. So I called back again, and I've been DMing them via Twitter. I've been a right playing via Twitter. But, you know, simply because that is the only way to get things done sometimes. And without that, I wouldn't have been getting to where I've got this morning, which is, if this guy can't help me, I'm not sure what can be done. He's talking about transferring fully to the new company, which I could do. It would probably be the right thing to do, given how bad the old company are now. But the old company's prices were affordable. And it goes back to that thing again about spending £6 on an armband that doesn't work. Am I going to stick with that approach, or am I going to have to accept that, you know, you just got to pay for a proper service, something that's going to be working, and I might have to pay a bit more? It is an issue because the domain needs to be renewed in January 2021. I was struggling at the start of the year, so I only renewed it for a year. So it's just been long hours. It's really set me back with what is a very strong idea for a show. And it's left me quite unfocused, because I know that that new show, there's going to be an awful lot of work. There's all this stuff I've got to learn for it, all the new equipment I've got to bring in. Hopefully this guy can help me. He's the right guy to be trying to help me. I set up one of the steps, which may have to be deleted now to avoid confusion. And, you know, they try and set up the email forwarding and receiving from scratch, but it's massively frustrating. Other building news, or other news generally, the neighbor, the elderly neighbor, is back. She came yesterday. I'll try and get her something and a car to welcome her back, but I'm gonna try to lay off texting her, because I just don't want to be sucked back into any errands for her. I don't want to have that awkward conversation where I say, well, actually, you know, I had this communication with your brother, and it was agreed that your care workers would now be buying this stuff in for you. This week's breakfasts, Monday to Thursday in that order. Toast, crackers, toast. A surprise to some that toast took the Thursday slot today, given crackers have been the breakfast for six of the last Thursdays. So that was a bit of a surprise. And I think I might run this feature regularly. And it might even lead to a competition. Who knows, that might attract at least a single entry where you guys try and guess in what order I've had the toast crackers in. And it will never be anything else. I'm a creature of habit. It will either be toast or it will be crackers. I only have cereal for lunch. Can't have cereal, porridge I include in that. Can't have it for breakfast. That for me is lunch. Toast, crackers are the two fighting this eternal breakfast battle, like Federer and Nadal at the top of the tennis world for most of the last 14, 15 years. And at this point, having paused the show, as I was going to lead into the first thing, I can see that I'm already running at 30 minutes and this could be a long show. And it's ridiculous to put out a long show as a bonus content episode for just a handful of listeners. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop this now. I'm going to stick this first, these first 30 minutes or so, and upload them to Apple Podcasts, and there will be a lot more to come for the Patreon listeners today. So if you're a regular listener and you're not a Patreon supporter, it might be that you might be interested in listening to the complete episode of 267. That's what I'm going to do now. That is simply the easiest way to support all this work. patreon.com/DRT available. Just £6 a month, you get nearly 2 hours of content at the moment every week. There's also the second tier, the Toe Dipper, which is an introductory tier for those of you unsure about committing to supporting the show. Everyone in the UK, EU and US can now pledge in their local currency of euros, British pounds or US dollars. That prevents you paying extra conversion fees from your bank or card when pledging in a currency that's not your own. Patrons say they're working on additional currencies. I'm paying the conversion fees. Which won't be a problem if I can grow that Patreon support. So patreon.com/DRT available. Join the 16 who keep this show coming back. patreon.com/DRT available. And if you're not joining the 16, do get your shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. Keep washing those hands. I'm Daniel Ruiz Tyson, and this week I have been available.